Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And good evening. Welcome to The Gathering, our Internet Afterlife Discussion Group. I'm Angelina, along with Bob, Fran, Melissa, and Tom. Good evening, all of you. How are you?
Good evening.
Hi.
And it's really lovely to have this gathering and be a part of it.
I get a chance to say my hello. Hello.
Now, tonight's topic is a very interesting one. Bad things that happen to good people. Is it a karmic thing? Are people destined to live a certain life? Is it a cosmic thing? Or are we affected by the other people around us and our actions really have nothing to do with it? So it's a very interesting topic, where it crosses many different venues, from spiritual, some people even think ethical. You could look at today's society and kind of wonder if it affects you, or is it a spiritual path that follows us from lifetime to lifetime, according to reincarnation? We'll be talking about that topic tonight. You can be a part of the gathering, get a feel of what it's like to be part of our afterlife discussion groups that happen all over the country. You can call us at 877-230-3062. And I encourage, if there are afterlife discussion participants that do take an active role in our Forever Family Foundation discussion group, please give us a call. Maybe if there's facilitators out there, maybe you've had this discussion already, we'd love you to be a part of tonight's program. Again, that number, 877-230-3062 for Signs of Life Radio. Now, before we get to the gathering, because I know we have a lot to talk about this evening, we do have some foundation business and a couple of exciting things coming up for the foundation that we also hope you'll be a part of. And again, if you'd like information on this, you can go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Fran, I know you have information there on the raffle that's going to take place. Sorry, I didn't know when you're going first.
Whatever piece of paper is on top is fine. The raffle is fine. We are not actually drawing the name until December 23rd, I believe. But between now and then, the odds are fabulous for you to buy even just a single ticket at $5, which would then give you 10 opportunities to win one of 10 medium readings with one of our certified mediums. Okay. And, of course, the more chances you buy, the less money you spend per chance. Mm-hmm. And, of course, increases your chance of winning.
Yes.
And
I always go back to the time there was someone that won three times within one raffle.
More than
was it really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And you're also helping the foundation by doing this. So it's really the gift that keeps on giving, you know, that you get a reading, but you also help the foundation, which in turn helps the aspects of understanding the science of this work, but also the afterlife discussion group.
Right. And just one more thing I wanted to throw in about the raffle, because it is an uncanny thing. I know we picked 10 winners. But invariably, there's always one winner who only bought one ticket.
Isn't that something?
So, you know, it really speaks to putting your intention in the purchase.
That's
of
right.
One ticket.
So if you're thinking there, I could only purchase one ticket, or it's not worth an effort if I only can buy one ticket, I think it is. It absolutely is. Spirit knows the truth. I often say that, but they also know the intention of why you're buying the ticket.
Maybe they also already know who the winner is.
There you go. They know the truth.
It's like that Reader's Digest thing. So if you didn't, the winner's already known, so you better hurry up and buy it.
There you go. Now, the next thing that's coming up immediately for the foundation is the conference in November on the 8th.
Right.
We have a great day lined up there, an all-day conference in the morning. We start off with two fabulous speakers at the Woodlands Mansion in Woodbury, New York. Tom and Lisa Butler.
Right.
That's on ED AVP.
From the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena.
Yes.
That not only talk about EVP, but they're going to do a hands-on demonstration of, yes, you can do this at home.
And how exciting is that? I mean, think about
it. Well, it gets even more exciting because the mansion has its own spirit.
Okay.
So they're bound to pick up either those spirits or the spirits of the people who are coming
That's really exciting.
And then, of course, in the same building in the afternoon, we have this gourmet luncheon with, count them, nine mediums who are going to be performing spirit communication.
Right. And also Claude Swanson.
Oh, I'm
so sorry.
Don't forget him. He's the first speaker up, Claude Swanson. And he's going to enlighten us as to the scientific findings about the universe and how it works. And how it does support that we do survive physical death.
And I know that the conference is on Saturday.
November 8th.
Yes, and there's really a lot to do in the New York area. So if you were to think to make it a long weekend and wanted to come on Thursday evening, because we do have some seats available left for the Signs of Life radio show.
The live radio show, only 30 seats. I think half of them are gone, as half of them are gone for the conference as well.
Wow.
And we have not gone into our advertising mode now. So until we do that, you know, that's where we stand. But once it goes public in the advertising, I imagine the rest of it is going to go.
Yeah.
And certainly the seats for the live radio show, because that's only 30 seats there.
Right.
But like you were saying, Thursday night, people who are checking into the hotel early will still be afforded the group rate.
That's great.
Forever Family Foundation, and they will be in the hotel where we will be broadcasting the radio show.
There you go.
So, and there are other things that will be available at the hotel in and around Long Island, where they're located, as well as in Manhattan, which is a short train ride from the hotel.
So really a lot going on. Again, all the information at the website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And just to remind you, too, finally, before we get to our exciting topic tonight, that membership is free with the foundation. So it doesn't cost anything to belong. You get a free newsletter and advance notice of all these fabulous events. So please log on to foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all the information. Our number here again is 877-230-3062. You're listening to a very special edition we do every month, the first Thursday of the month, called The Gathering, where we'd like to share with you what an afterlife discussion group is like, to entice you to listen, of course, but also to become an active part of the foundation. We have afterlife discussion groups all around the country, free, so that people can learn more about this work and the different topics or ideas about it. And tonight's topic is, when bad things happen to good people, is it a karmic thing? Is it something that's predestined? Does it follow us from lifetime to lifetime? What are your thoughts on that as we start to open this discussion? Anybody like to go first?
Well, now that you mention it.
I do mention it.
I think that anybody who has suffered the loss of a loved one, I would imagine, asks the same question. You know, why did this happen? Is there any meaning, you know, to it? Especially if you've lost somebody, let's say that's led a relatively short life. The questions that come to mind is, was this for a purpose? Was this a random event? Is there a God? If there is a God, why did God do this to me? And whether or not that's true, we can talk about it. Certainly a lot of people would say that, you know, there isn't a God that did this, you know, to me. But it's certainly probably the most asked question that there is. And, you know, Harold Kushner wrote a book, When Bad Things Happen, you know, to Good People, and a lot of people turn to it. It sold, God knows how many, God knows how many. So I guess, you know, and for all of you who have read that book, the premise, as I recall, having read it many years ago, was that Kushner believed that there wasn't a God that, of course he does believe in God, but there wasn't a God that took a role in what happens to our loved ones, what happens to us when we die. His belief was that, you know, God set up the ground rules, he set up this physical existence, and pretty much what happens is all based upon free will. And of course, many people believe that, and a lot of people don't. I mean,
I think there's a lot of religious jargon that we've all been brought up on. You know, the ritual of, oh, God's going to punish you if you do that, or, you know, and then there's the other side, there's an all-loving God, and then when something bad happens, well, if it's an all-loving God, why did this bad thing happen, or why did God do this bad thing? Why did we have Katrina? I know it's back, you know, the hurricane season is back down there. These people are shaking in their pants till we get through this hurricane season. Why did they all have to suffer like that? And it's the same question over and over again, and it's so easy to point it at some, you know, some force that we can't see so that we can continue to shake in our pants every time we think we're going to do something bad or we think we've done something wrong, you know. But then you got to go back to this concept of an all-loving, positive universe where even when you talk to the spiritualists or particularly the mediums who have sort of a pipeline to the people who are already on the other side that are telling us it is an all-loving, blissful place. So the negative side just doesn't seem to fit in.
Well, you raise an interesting point when you speak about what are bad things. Bob spoke about the extreme of physical death. You speak about Katrina, and you have to have compassion for those people going through this again.
Absolutely.
But then you ask about free will. Why are you moving back there? Why do you keep on going back? What's drawing you there? So the next question I want to ask, is there an unseen force that drives us to the negative to learn lessons?
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head, I think, with the lessons. I'm currently reading a book by Doreen Malloy called Proof Positive, and as it would happen, I'm right in the middle of the chapter on this very topic that she's writing about. And she maintains that it's part of the reincarnation cycle that you actually choose before you get to Earth, that you're going to experience a life where you are going to take it on the chin for on certain accounts. And, you know, the old expression comes to mind, that which doesn't kill me only makes me stronger. So it's part of the learning process, and you actually volunteer to have something horrible happen to you so that you can learn from it and then in turn turn around and help other people or souls with what you've learned.
Go ahead, Bob.
And I think that's what Tom just described is probably the overwhelming majority view of most people that would be termed spiritual, that there is some sort of a, you could call it a karma or a balance, or sometimes, let's say somebody leads a life of suffering here, it could be part of a plan going back several generations, maybe three, four generations. Our soul in four generations ago may have had to so-called learn this lesson and is learning it now four generations later. Mm. The question comes to mind, people ask, like, what about in a baby? You know, a baby lives 4 or 5 days and then dies. What kind of lesson? And the argument could be, well, the lesson, you know, this could be, that's all they needed to do was come back for this short period of time, where it also helped others let's say, making the parents but realize that there's more to life and being more spiritual, mm-hmm. and all sorts of arguments like that.
Well, I remember having a discussion with a parent, I think you were actually present in the room, where, you know, mediums talk a lot about soul groups and lessons, and it's really, I think, from a medium's point of view, easy to say, but when you look at the viewpoint of a parent, lost child, it doesn't make it feel too comforting for them to go, hey, I lost a child. I don't care if it's a lesson for someone else. That's another viewpoint.
Sure.
So, you know, you can understand. So if there's somebody listening there going, oh, that's great that it's a lesson for someone else, but I still lost my child. So I'd really like to delve into the deeper meaning of when someone has grief, if someone's listening now, where can you turn around that point of this bad thing happened to me? How do I take it to another level? How, I've not lost a child, so I can't speak from that viewpoint. Where do you take that from? How do you take just the spiritual path? You separate yourself to spirituality? I remember hearing a parent say there can't be a God. This happened, you know? So,
I'll tell you, every single parent says that.
Right.
Every single parent says that. And I think the mistake that that is being made is that you're, and I've said this before, it's not a lesson. The word lesson is it belongs in school, it belongs in punishment, we're not coming here to learn a lesson. We may be coming here to experience things, and that may be experiencing the loss of somebody, or experiencing a near-death experience, or experiencing being poor, or living in a bad neighborhood, or a third-world country. Those are experiences. I think once you throw lesson out there, lose it.
Right. So now let's take that concept, and when you look at the history of the world, you know how, like, when you look at the history of the world, you think of, like, when dinosaurs were here and humans were here, but in the whole scale of things, it's really a blip on the history of the world, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at our viewpoint as a physical being here, and they say there's no time on the other side, okay? Are those bad or negative things that happen to us now really just a blip on our radar screen, and how do they tilt our spiritual soul group on the other side, perhaps unfold and take in those experiences so that we all can join on the other side and not have to come back? Don't you kind of wonder that if there's a bigger force out there, that these little blips that hurt us so much in time don't really hurt us that much on the other side, but contribute to, I can't think of the word, like a more enlightened place to live in?
Oh, absolutely. That makes a lot more sense than, oh, I came here to learn a lesson, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I'm probably in the minority, I guess. You know, I mean, I believe, I don't believe that we are necessarily here to gain, you know, from our experiences. You know, I don't believe that I can explain, you know, the death of somebody by a pact or some sort of plan that was made, you know, while I was, you know, a soul. I'm open to the possibility. I go back to the same thing where I believe that, you know, I do believe there is a you want to call it God or a universal designer or whatever you want to call it, that set these rules, these physical laws. They're only physical to us here on this earth, and we live our lives according to these laws. We exercise free will. I do believe there is such a thing as intuition and psychic ability and spirit communication, and sometimes it can help us navigate these lives that we have. But I do in that sense just think it's random. The guidelines are there. We're put here to gain all these experiences, as you say, and stuff happens, you know. And I can't, as much as I look at all the evidence, I still keep going back to that. Now, you know, like I say, I'm not. One thing I've learned is not to be closed-minded to anything. On the one level, it does make sense saying, well, when you look at it from this physical perspective, it's everything that seems so serious and so heart-wrenching to us, as you say, you know, on the other side, we can not laugh at it, but we could just realize the insignificance of it, you know.
Well, too, you have to, some people feel that maybe someone, another concept, is that someone doesn't live a long life because the last life they lived, they learned all the lessons they had to learn. I know, I'm just bringing up different thoughts. I'm not saying I believe in them, but I'm just bringing up your thoughts on this, that they lived such a wonderful life in the last lifetime that they didn't have to live out a full life here, and that the immediate loss of that person actually offers up the rest of the people in their soul group to live the life they have to or move on in their own way. So what are your thoughts about someone who lived maybe an advanced life? I've heard some mediums say that, oh, they were advanced or they were
old soul,
thank you. What are your thoughts on that?
It's the barometer to measure that.
I agree. But what do you think, Melissa? Anything?
Well, I was going to interject before you posed that question. Just first of all, that I think we ought to acknowledge the bad things that happen to people when it's not dealing with a death of a loved one. Because I know that a lot of families I work with, it's parents dealing with a child with severe disability, and that child isn't, you know, doesn't have necessarily a short lifespan, so this is an ongoing process where they're questioning daily, why me, why me? We have the perfect life, then this, why me?
And why the child? The child should be questioning.
It's all of it.
Too.
It's all of it. The
it's
child,
not just the parents that are that are challenged by this. The child
exactly,
is challenged by this
exactly.
as well.
And then thinking, now sort of going off that topic, all my questions that I was ready to ask, I often have believed that things are predestined, and I know some people feel that's a cop-out. It's kind of easier to just say, oh, it was meant to be. And, you know, other people say, that's, you know, you're copping out on with that statement. And then when you think about what happened after the hurricanes and everybody who's been so devastated, and certainly we wouldn't think that everybody had the same lesson to learn from it, but it's like, how do they deal with it? How do they rise to the occasion and move on? And I often think of a quote where, I don't know who said it, but it's circumstances don't make a man, they reveal him. So it's how you deal with what you're dealt with. And so even though it's not a lesson to be learned, it's helping you to develop maybe in areas that you needed to. So those are all my thoughts.
Yeah.
But back
I
to
think
what
that we there's a word that needs to get into this conversation, and I must say that of all the topics that the Forever Family Foundation deals with, this is one that I really don't have much of an opinion on. So I'm speculating with the rest of us here, but there is a word that throughout all of this that I hold on to is that we have a free will. That sure, there might be a divine highway that we're supposed to be walking in our lives, but we have the ability to just head off into the woods by our free will. And also that we don't, nobody really likes when they've decided that they're going to have a bad thing. I equate it to, you're up having a good time at night, you know, friends over, and you know you have to work the next morning, but you say, you know what, I'm going to choose to stay up tonight because I'm having such a good time, and then tomorrow we'll deal with it. And then you wake up the next morning and you go, what the heck was I thinking?
Right.
And it's kind of this way. I see it, that if you are in a... in the other plane, and you decide to come back to Earth, and you say, yeah, I think it would be good for me to have a really horrible thing happen to me, and that would be, you know, a good experience for me to have. And then you get down to Earth, and you go, what the heck was I thinking?
I have an interesting concept that I'd like to pose to the gathering. Do you feel that, and this is in the reference of loss or grief, do you feel that one way it's possible that if someone who's mourning someone or grieving someone shifts, utilizes their free will, shifts and changes to overcome that grief or even honor the path of the one that they lost, that it affects that soul on the other side? And if so, how?
Well, I think one thing goes hand in hand. If you believe that there is meaning in the universe and that we are here to learn from our experiences, then you also have to believe that when we leave this physical existence, that the life and the way we acted in this physical existence affects our future existence on the other side. So, you know, to me, that goes hand in hand. Either you believe that everything is totally random within these physical confines, or you believe that life is meaningful both here and there, and they're connected.
Right. So just so my question is clear,
yeah,
that if, let's say, my mother, who's on the other side, had a big impact on my life.
Right.
If I choose to try to overcome the grief of missing her, honor her in a way, live my life in a certain way, from learning from her the way that she lived her life, good or bad, and I shift and change my path, you think that creates a healing for my mother on the other side? Or does it create a shift and change for her on the other side?
Well, who knows? You know, I mean, I would think that the it would have more of an impact on you than your mother, who's... I don't think your mother needs your help on the other side. And I don't know that necessarily what you're doing affects her. She's trying to help you, you know, in my view.
So I think that, but what you raise an interesting point, by creating this new energy or creating this new outlook or transforming yourself, then you may very well be helping your soul, you know, to progress in some way, going on that theory.
What if I add in that one of the lessons that my mother said she needed to learn in her lifetime was needing to heal from the aspects of how her mother raised her and wanting to be sure that her children grew up to be loving, responsible people and not affected by loss or by alcoholism or what have you. So on some level, if some of my siblings chose a path that wasn't healing or did not learn from the strength of my mother, who my mother was, that she did not complete her lesson here in being the mother she wanted to be. So let's say if...
I think you got to divide.
I'm just posing.
You can't meld. You can't apply the laws of the physical world to the laws of the non-physical world.
Okay.
Just because they can communicate with us and we supposedly can communicate back with them doesn't mean that we follow the same rules and the same laws.
So we don't continue a relationship with them?
I didn't say that.
But this is a relationship of healing and lessons.
I didn't say that. I'm saying, and we constantly do this. We want, and when you feed into it, you make it worse for the people who have losses. We constantly wanted to be in the definition of how we live in the physical world. And we can't, because clearly, and you talk to these people who have had the near-death experiences, they can't even describe in the vocabulary that we have what the experience was like. So clearly, it doesn't even resemble
mm-hmm. I agree.
How we live here.
So when someone crosses over, they've learned all their lessons, there's no more to learn.
I didn't say that.
No, but that's what I'm posing a question. So my mother's not...
And let's stop using the lessons thing. We don't know how they learn on the other side. You learn loosely. We don't know how they continue their development on the other side. We don't know that, and we won't know that till we get over
there.
Well, this
is all speculative.
Right.
But the question I'm asking, could it be possible that the bad thing that we experience here can create good on the other side?
Certainly it's possible. I mean, it's possible. I mean, there could be a symbiotic relationship, and we always talk, we throw around words like synchronicity and resonance, and perhaps those are principles that are used when spirit communicates with us. So I can't say, you can't rule out the possibility that somehow what we do here, you know, affects them there. I mean, I don't necessarily believe it, but I'm certainly open to that possibility. I guess what we're really talking about, you know, is there continued growth on the other side? Do our souls only gain from these physical reincarnations, mm-hmm. or can you just stay a spirit entity and continue to grow? You know, and that's a question that a lot of people, right. Philosophers, have been asking that for ages. And I guess we'll find out eventually.
I have a gut feeling that it is possible to choose to stay on the other side and choose to continue your growth. But I think that there is something definitely special about life and being here, that in a sense maybe that it can speed up the process, that you can take quantum leaps by coming back here, whereas you would just... It's hard to say in time what's fast when you're right. talking about eternity. I mean, time is meaningless. Time and money are the two things that are totally meaningless in the next realm. But, you know, I like the way the Eastern religions feel about that you come back and you keep cyclically, and what I've heard about the past life regression and stuff, it does go back thousands of years. If you want, you can go back that far. So it's not just one time and you get everything you're going to get here on the planet. And as I say, the Eastern religions say, well, you keep coming round again until you reach that nirvana, and then you don't need this anymore, and you're then at that higher state. And I guess that's what it's about, is getting to a higher state.
Well, there's one concept that we haven't touched upon, which is in the physical world, we have all of this negative stuff, which seems to be getting more and more negative. We have all this negative stuff. Now, if we want to believe this blissfulness of the other side, then there's no way to, you can't appreciate darkness without light.
Right.
So you can't appreciate the blissfulness unless you come back to experience
right.
negative
stuff. It's bipolar.
Stuff.
You need the opposite point. Poles to make a magnet.
Right, yeah. And maybe that's part of the quote-unquote growth.
You know what always bothered me about the Eastern religions, you know, and it's purely speaking, you know, here in physical terms, you know, eventually, as you said, you reach nirvana, and when you reach nirvana, you blend into the universe, you know, so that was always scary to me, because I felt, you know, the one thing that I felt comfort in was that we retain our own individuality, so to speak, and memories and personality, you know, on the other side. And, you know, I like to think that that goes on, you know, and then, but, you know, in the Eastern religions, you know, eventually, you know, you do become part of the universe. Now, of course, I know I'm speaking this purely like your own physical phobia, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what could be better than blissfulness, you know, eternal bliss. I mean, you don't care about anything if you have eternal bliss. But, you know, just maybe it's my own shtick, but, you know, do you feel to a certain extent, you know, that it's comfort in knowing that not only you, but your loved ones on the other side remember you and you know, and retain some of their memories?
Well, that's what's so cool during a mediumship reading is when that kind of information, that kind of validation.
Yeah, I don't think it's mutually exclusive either. I think that probably in the scheme of things, you do enjoy the bliss. When you reach that level, one of the things that when I first became involved in the foundation and got to meet and observe mediumship was that kind of actually bothered me is there's all this talk of all the work to do on the other side, and I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute, I was looking for the you know the endless golf course or whatever, and I don't want to work. But you know, I mean, you're working towards the higher state.
Yeah, I think that word work is going to work in with the lexicon.
Well, that's going to be one of the ways that Fran's lexicon of words you can't use.
Yeah.
Well, there was one reading, if I may, that my father came through on, and there was a problem here, and the medium mentioned that he was wringing his hands and that he had been going approaching of a higher
power
to help resolve this problem. And that gave me a little insight that, yeah, there are different levels once you get there. And maybe, maybe power is the word that the more you develop your spiritual, your soul, your positive energy, the more power you have on the other side to help those that you want to help them and to guide the loved ones that are coming along. That you'll...
That's the whole concept.
We were just talking about, though, the word power and empowerment today in the office.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the word power to be a negative word.
It does, well, because...
That way.
I know. No, I know, but I think too, if we could take the argument that lessons doesn't quite fit on the other side, so is that darn thing of levels on the other side.
Yeah.
That you can always bring up.
Eastern thing.
Yeah.
And Shakespeare, you know, who said that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
But you said when I brought that up.
I agree with you that power, for those very reasons, has that negative connotation. Mm-hmm. And maybe what we're thinking is amassing positive energy. Or getting rid of your negative energy, whichever way you want.
Right.
Maybe that's what we're trying to do is trying to become more pure positive energy without any negative energy getting into the picture.
Well, I like the way Bob looks at it. Sometimes I know you've spoken, Bob, about when we get on the other side that we need to learn somehow, you know, how to communicate back or become involved. Again, there's that word learn again in lessons. But you always speak about that. Going with your explanation, Tom, you kind of wonder if the medium was perceiving that your dad figured out how he can intervene and help, rather than it being this power and going to this level, and you know maybe he's amassing more ability to communicate into this dimension.
I found out actually after he passed that during World War II he was quite the navigator. In fact, he was very young and was about 20, 21 years old, and he was given a ship to take from the South Pacific back to San Francisco, and he had no equipment, only but the stars. And so I've been referring to him now that he's passed as the great navigator.
Oh, isn't that so awesome?
And I feel that, yes, exactly right. He's learned maybe... maybe quicker than other spirits to find ways back to get messages back and things
That's
like that.
Cool. We do have a caller on the line, Signs of Life Radio, The Gathering. We'd like to welcome Kelly from Oregon to Signs of Life Radio. Kelly, are you there?
This is a fascinating conversation, and as a medium, I listen to the dead man who lives in my house all the time, and he's currently writing a book about what it is like to die, what you're capable of with on the other side and with people in this world and how we communicate. They don't have a lot of problems over there, but they are certainly sensitive to ours, and they don't abandon their loved ones. But some of the things about when bad things happen to people, and they're painful. It's a matter of saying some people like roast beef and some people like chicken, and what is bad for one person isn't necessarily bad for another, but there is a complete evenness. There is a yin and yang, and we very rarely question, oh God, why do all these wonderful things happen to me? We very rarely question when we are given these fabulous blessings from God, we don't question it. And then when the bad stuff happens, we say, why does this happen? Well, there's an evenness. And everything is a blessing. And because we really can't see that far down to the past the horizon, at the moment it can seem very bad. And that death, there is no untimely death. No matter how small or innocent the child or what a person's infirmity, mental or emotional, that soul that we are, that spirit we are from the other side, our soul is very aware and sometimes says, this really isn't. This is not going the way I wanted it to. And we get our out, and it can seem like an untimely death. We're left behind to grieve. However, what Bill, my resident ghost, likes to say is that they are here. And through this prism that he calls the in-between world, we can simply speak with them. We can have all the interaction. Sometimes people truly are more tired than they know of living in this world. And it is time, and they are called back. But the hopeful message and trying to say, yes, listen with your heart, listen with your body, mind, and spirit, and quit listening for your lost loved one. We haven't lost them. They're here. We do live in heaven. There is what was once called the veil. And through what Bill calls the in-between world, that is where our departed can come so that we can see and hear them. But they certainly are here. And I know from what Bill says, and he died at the age of 32, and he died 30 years ago. He's having a ball over there. And certainly if one reads or hears what Bill has to say, nobody would be afraid to die. But of course, I had a baby who died when he was an hour and a half old on June 21st, 1986. And after all this time, I don't forget it. I don't look on it joyously, but it doesn't have quite the same sting. It was painful. And yet, we're not as great as God. And when we pull a thorn from our child's finger and they're saying, ow, and we're asking them to please hold still, so that they don't have the thorn become infected, often things that, for our good, hurt. and we don't like them, and they are painful. But at the same time, after Katrina, the birds were singing. After, there is a time for everything.
And so, what you're saying is a lot of what we were talking about a little bit earlier, that if we do think of the lessons and the things that can come from a bad thing, that there are gifts that come within every bad lesson. In other words,
I don't know if lesson, it sounds punitive in some way, or like a schoolmarm shaking her finger at us, they're blessings. And just as though childbirth isn't always pleasant, it's a part of life, and we're presented with this grand baby at the end of it, and it all makes it worth it. And if we can stick with it and say, thank you, God, this is a blessing. I don't quite understand it. I don't really like it, but I know this is a blessing. For me, about 14 years ago, I was presented with ovarian cancer. And one day when I could not see because the lymph nodes were so swollen, I said, everything I know for some reason, and I said, everything God gives us is a blessing. And I said, thank you, God. This is a gift. I don't understand it. I don't like it, but I know it's a gift. When I went and had my surgery, they removed the tumors, and the pathologist said, well, they're all malignant. He said, but they were all dead. He said, something cut off the blood supply to them, and they're all dead. Well, I think sometimes when we do accept and embrace even the bad things as gifts, we always get more blessings. But I do know that with my own spirit guide, my own guardian angel, when my little boy died at 90 minutes old, and I can assure you I was inconsolable, and I just couldn't imagine why this would happen to such good parents. I had a little girl, and life was perfect and wonderful. And Marissa said, it was your turn. And she said, how would you like it? And what would you do if God came to you and said, today, there is a woman who is going to lose her baby son. And we're looking at you. But if you'd rather not, all you have to do is point out another woman and we'll take her son from her. Who do you want to pick out? And I realized at that time, I'd never pick out another person for such a fate. And I realize sometimes it's our turn, whether we like it or not.
That's very true, Kelly, and thank you for your enlightening words. We really appreciate you calling Science of Life Radio. Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Yeah, she does raise some interesting things. I mean, my mother said the same thing to me, too, when she had her cancer. She said, Angelina, this cancer is a gift, it's a blessing. And I said, why? She goes, even if I don't make it, you'll learn something from this. You'll be able to hopefully pull something from it so that I know my child's stronger because of it. So, you know, while not all, you know, I think one thing that she was saying that I don't agree with is that, you know, if, let's say you have cancer and you say, well, this is a blessing that you'll automatically be healed. In her case, where she was fortunate to be healed. I know there are some people out there that
said, well, she still had the surgery. It was still removed.
I respect
we don't
that.
Know
but my
that,
mom had cancer,
yeah, but
she didn't make it, but
right,
she felt the same
right,
thing. So,
right. So my point was that her attitude towards it may be taken the way she describes it as having healed it, but maybe that's the outcome that would have happened anyway if
correct,
she removed it.
No, I agree.
Right. So we don't know.
Right.
Certainly living a life like she lives is a very positive, very
absolutely,
wonderful thing. But line up 100 women and say to them, okay, you pick the one who's going to lose the baby. You know, there are going to be people who are going to pick the next person.
That's right. No,
everybody's not going to be as gracious as Kelly would.
I agree. No, I agree. And on some level, and it's true, she's a very gracious, obviously beautiful soul. But a lot of people could also utilize that thought to help them get through the process of trying to heal through something. Like, for instance, saying, you know what? Someone else didn't have to go through this. Maybe if I go through it with dignity and grace, I'll get myself through
well,
it.
Well, look how we oh, describe the difference, though. Kelly experienced it, and her experience helped her now help other people
correct,
here.
Exactly.
Angelina's scenario your mother experienced it so that you could help
exactly.
other people.
Exactly.
So, you know, sometimes the experience that happens to you, whereas it doesn't end the way you'd like it to, is still helping somebody.
Absolutely. And
perhaps this is the growth that we need to all learn. Maybe we all need to be like Kelly.
Oh, I agree.
And that's the growth that we can advance with here, so that when we get to the other side, we are on some other higher, crazy level.
Exactly, I agree. But it doesn't mean that you do it with the idea that she used saying the RX that it'll bring you blessing. You know,
right.
And I know that's not her intention, just to get something for herself. She sounds like a soul that would give to others her shirt off her back.
Right.
But I think we have to be careful how we decide how we utilize our good intentions. It isn't to get something back.
Right. So our good intentions have intention.
Right. Exactly.
And if the intention is pure,
right.
And we've
that's
had this conversation
yes.
before, if the intention is pure, then it's a perfect intention.
Right. Walking
if it has ulterior motives, it's no longer pure.
Exactly.
So it's a negative intention.
Because I often think of the people that are listening to this going, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's all nice to have that attitude and everything, but I'm still here, still grieving. Where's my blessing? Where are my gifts?
Right.
You know,
and that is a very common.
It's a very true thing, and I know she's a medium, too, and I'm certain she hears that, too, from her clients, and I'm sure she's this way to bring inspiration to those people who are grieving. So there's two sides of the coin, you know. It's one thing, you know, to look at someone who lived a charmed life and it had everything go well for them, you know, and they live till they're 98 years old, you know, and just in there, what do you mean they smoke and they drink and they never had cancer, you know? And then you look at someone who has the attitude of Kelly, you know, and maybe lives till they're 59 years old, and you're going, well, why do bad things happen to good people, you know? And I think some of the concepts and the things we brought up are interesting, but there's no way to really pin down why that is.
That's true. I mean,
you know,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Please go.
I could just as easily make the argument, which is my own belief, that, you know, I hear people, you know, talking about, well, for instance, if we're talking about a death, you know, they say, well, it was a calling. You know, God
right.
is taking you. This is your calling. Or in the, like, one of the people that you work with, Melissa, you know, that has a horrible disease, you know, and that this is their calling, so to speak, you know. Or when something, you know, good happens, we say, well, you know, this is given to us by the divine, and this is our blessing. You know, my personal belief is that I don't believe that. You know, I believe that I've talked about, you know, randomness by design. You know, we're going to say there is a God that set this up, you know, to be random on purpose, you know. But once we leave this physical existence, we can now sit back and say, okay, whether our life was 90 years or whether it was 2 weeks or whether it was an hour, what did we learn from this physical existence, you know? And then we take it from there. So I believe that if there is this divine presence, this God, he or she or it takes over afterwards. This is all, don't blame it on me, you know? You know, I didn't do this to you. I set up the rules, you play by it, this is your thing. You made a reference earlier about, which I believe, you know, that it's possible that this physical existence acts as a catalyst, right? You might say endorphin, you know, it's like an endorphin rush for our spirit, this physical existence, you know? So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong in saying, and you don't have to be devastated by something that bad that happens, because you could reason out, well, you know, there may be something that I'm going to learn afterwards, you know, and I'll when I step back and I'm able to look at the big picture, so... I know it's very comforting to think that, I know personally, when after I suffered a loss, and people said to me, well, you know, God, you know, wanted to, you know, to take her, I was angry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's
how
right.
dare you say something like that?
Right.
You know, if
right.
How could some beneficent, loving God
right.
take this and cause this, you know? So, and my personal belief is that, you know, when somebody dies, that they're not taken. You know, as I said, I'm open to anything, but and maybe I'm in the minority in this conversation.
No, I agree to some of what you're saying. It's very hard to sit across a parent when you're trying to tell them, you know, I personally believe in soul groups. But, you know, when you say to a parent, oh, your daughter was a teaching soul and you're a healing soul and you lost that person so that you can be a healer. You know, they're like, I don't want to be a healer. I just want my daughter back. You know, there's a reality check there from a medium's point of view and a practitioner's point of view. They go, wait a minute, we don't know it all. And on some level, what we could say, just like with Kelly's attitude and just what Spirit has what they teach us time and time again, they teach us just glimpses, microcosms of what it's like there. And the only hope is that when they do teach us something or they give us a glint of information that someone goes, you know what, maybe they're right. And then they end up creating a foundation or they end up creating a school to help children with learning disabilities. And they take this world, which is so corrupt and so rotten, and because of the other side and what they said, makes it a better place. That's the only glint of proof to me that they have an ability to shift and change what we can do here. And that on some level, by whatever bad thing happened here, even though it doesn't make sense to us in our conscious physical brain, that if they could inspire us, that's a better word, not teach us, not learn lessons, but inspire us to live a piece of the other side here. Take the good that they are and make their life better. You know, maybe when my mother said it was a blessing, maybe I do bring blessings through the work that I do to other people. You know, maybe on some level by you working with children who have disabilities, it puts you in an appreciative state of what your life is, and we understand why you're so, Melissa, so loving and sweet to the people around who you are with, because you appreciate the fact that, hey, I'm whole, I don't have a disability. So we can look at it.
Well, that was one of the points that Kelly made, which
right.
I thought was great, was that we always look at the negative things. We never turn around when something wonderful happens and say, wow, what was the purpose of that? You know, and it's true.
But I agree with what you said, Angelina, is that I definitely believe that you can get inspiration is a
right.
good word. You can get inspiration from the other side. And I think that people on the other side do attempt, just try to find ways of being inventive to communicate with us. They try and find ways to help guide us in some way, you know, to override our free will, even though our free will is saying turn right and there's a voice in our head saying turn left.
I agree. Talked about this in the office today. I know we don't have a lot of time, but from a medium's point of view, the ethics of when you receive validating information and what they want to teach us and how far you take it as a practitioner, you have to deliver it in a pure way, you know, rather than falling into the stereotypical things of, well, it's a blessing, you're a healer, you're a soul group, you're this, you're that. On some level, if we can allow the other side or the unseen world, as we like to refer to them, they're not the other, they're here. If we can honor their intention of when they deliver validating information, it's validating. If we can ask the question why and deliver in a way so that it inspires those who try to not, they can't get rid of grief, but move past it in a way so that they can maybe honor their loved one and, I don't want to use the word learn, but be inspired by it or empowered by it.
Well, you know, inspiration is the best word because spirit is a root of the
spirit.
Word.
So maybe on some level we can learn more about the other side by prescribing to Kelly's attitude and bringing a little piece of the other side to this side.
I'd like to just reiterate, Tom, in the true spirit of spirit.
There we go. There we go.
I like that.
I love it, too. Well, on that note, we do have to start wrapping things up. I want to thank everyone on this side and on the other side of the radio for joining us for the gathering with Tom, Melissa, Fran, Bob, and myself, Angelina. And on behalf of the Forever Family Foundation, thank you for joining us for this internet afterlife discussion group called The Gathering. You can hear Signs of Life Radio every Thursday evening. And if you would like more information about the Forever Family Foundation, can find it on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And on that note, thank you so much this evening for an
inspiring discussion, and I want to remind you that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Have a good evening, everyone.